Okay, let's go into another phase now of dependency and see the basic considerations here, the basic mechanics of mechanics. And let's discover that the Thetans' adoption of mechanics, which begin with space, go through energy, and wind up with objects, is his first activity in the direction of succumbing. This is getting himself to not know. Space is your first effort not to know. And instead of just knowing something, you have put something over someplace so that you have to look at it to know. You put something out there and you say, what is it? Then you have to go over there or bring it into you in order to discover what it is. And, of course, if you put it out there and said there was a mystery about it, why, boy, does that make you stupid. See? You put it out there, and you didn't put anything in it, but you said there was a big mystery about it, and then you brought it in to have to look at it, find out what it is, then it leaves you trying to figure it out, but there wasn't anything in it anyhow. See, but you put it in there with the consideration there was something in it that you wouldn't be able to know, and so you can get real stupid on this, and this is the direction of succumb, which is original on the track, and is the first basic mechanism which a Thetan adopts in order to cut down his knowingness, which is to say, adopt space. By adopting space, he cuts down his knowingness. Now, he finds out that his knowingness isn't really too far cut down, and he has to invent something like time, which is to say consecutive spaces or motion in space. And by inventing motion in space, then he introduces a not knowingness known as having to predict. And, of course, this is amongst the sillier ones because an individual, of course, is not running on a time track. He's not running on a time track. He couldn't be stuck in time if he was running on a time track. You'd never find a fellow stuck on the track. An individual is beginningless, endless time himself. But he has to have a series of considerations which add up to time, and then these things have to be agreed with, so he has an agreed upon time, and therefore we have an agreed upon present time. And people get very baffled because present time keeps drifting away from them. Well, look at this as a very, very cute mechanism of an individual making a consideration that he has to predict something. Now, actually, I've told a couple of people about this and watched their brains creak, so let's not have any machinery break down here. If there is any machinery that breaks down, why, make sure you sweep it up before you leave the room. Here, you see, is the postulate that motion can now exist in space, which is another method of not knowingness. I know where it is now that I am looking at it, but it's going to move someplace so that I will not know now where it is going to move to. Now, this is an immediate consideration that there is another period or another space involved here. Another period. There is a period which one doesn't have yet, which is in itself quite a consideration, that something exists which one yet does not have, which is a rather intricate little consideration, but is a perfectly easy consideration. And that in itself is motion. And you try to make any more out of motion than that, and you get into trouble, simply because the consideration of the thing is going to be somewhere else. And therefore, you've invented a time. Go. And this way you can develop time. Now you could cut down your knowingness even further by getting into association with somebody you couldn't predict. Therefore, let's make up a chess player, somewhat like this. You ever try to play two sides of a game of chess simultaneously where you knew the move each time and you moved around to the other side of the board and you knew the move and strategy, and then you make a move and then you go around and you make a move again, and each time you remember what your own strategy was, it gets difficult, so you compartment yourself. And you say, well, I am on one side of this board, and he is on the other side. Now, you'll see little kids and grown-ups doing this all the time. They run around to the other side of the board and assume another valence. Well, this actually is not very difficult, and neither is it very convincing. No, let's put a total self-determined individualism on the other side of that board that we can't predict at all because that individual is self-determined. And we got. And that's very nice. Then a fellow can sit there and be on both sides of the board at the same time, because there isn't any time, and play consecutively on his agreed-upon consideration that time is taking place and that we get alternate motions. And one side then can't predict the other side, and the fellow is actually on two sides of the board at once, forgetting that he is the other fellow, very carefully forgetting that he is the other fellow, too. And we have two individuals. Now, we could say that everybody once was somebody who started compartmenting himself, and you would have to ask the question then, well, then, was I the fellow who did the compartmenting, or was I the compartmented object, you know, the other guy? Look, it wouldn't matter a doggone which one you were, because we don't have a consecutive seniority here. If you don't believe that seniority is a lot of balderdash, look at what it does to the civil service. The consecutive seniority here is utterly nonsense, because both sides of the board would have an equal memory of having done the compartmentation. You see that? Both sides would have an equal memory. And it wouldn't matter how many times both sides now each individually compartmented things, because you wouldn't have a full game unless you'd granted full powers. You're the only one that is ungranting power to yourself. You see, it didn't matter whether you were the first compartmenter or the last thing that was compartmented off. You have the same consecutive memory. Now, we see this manifested terrifically in terms of cells. They even dramatize this in terms of cellular division as their method of procreation. And in cellular division, the cell which is divided off, cell A prime, has the same memory of doing the dividing that cell A had. And cell A prime prime has the same memory of being cell A, which did the dividing to make cell A prime, which did the dividing to make cell A prime prime. In other words, their memory is all in common, and it's simply an increasing memory, but it is not exactly the same memory from the standpoint of cell A. You got that now. Well, cells do behave like this. You can run a series of chemical experiments on cells, and you will find out that they do remember their training just as though they were the individual. Now, when you get complex cellular objects, such as bodies, why, you get more of a complexity, and you therefore get a greater suppression of memory on the thing. They're colonial aggregations, and yet if you track back those memory lines, you would discover that you still had this same line of recall. So it wouldn't matter where the universe came from. The truth of the matter is the time itself came from a consideration of what made the universe. Time was basically a consideration, and therefore all life could be said to be in common with all life. Now, another doctrine could be followed here, and you could find out this would all work out the same way on another doctrine. You could say this individual was busy playing games with himself. He's throwing something out and saying, what is it? And then, by golly, somebody else had come along and thrown something out, and boy, would they have a puzzle now. Both of them have thrown out something and said, I don't know what I'm throwing out, except that it's a mystery, and then I'm going to pull it in and say, what is it? Now I'll pull in the wrong one. I'll pull in the other guy's, because it probably really has a mystery in it. And both of them pull in the other fellow's with no mystery in it in the first place, you see? But now they know that they had a big mystery, and they go along, they play this game with each other, and somebody else appears. And he goes on and throws something out, and he says there was a mystery in it, but there's no mystery in it. Now he's got a reason why, and say there was some kind of a mystery in it. We've got communication here, in essence. And as we get the communication lines going this way and that, we get them very multiple. And boy, everybody could forget everything in all directions in an awful hurry, and we could all succumb like mad. Therefore, we could have a lot of randomity, and boy, what a game this would be. Up to the point where the individuals decided they'd better stop playing this game because they'd forgotten where it came from. And having forgotten where it came from and exactly what they were doing, they all walk around and look at each other's mysteries, hoping that that has the answer in it. But how did those mysteries get made in the first place? They got made by postulate to be a mystery. All right. We've got in every way, shape, or form, the same mechanism, whether everybody was an individual to begin with, just as he is now, or whether everybody was the same individual to begin with. This would not matter. You get the same result. So we don't have to worry about this basic theory about the thing. The only time you'll start worrying about it is when you find yourself running into so much knowingness that you have a complete insufficiency of stupidity. And your scarcity of stupidity will get so bad that you will throw out something that you don't know what it is, but it's a big mystery, to pull it back in and hope that somebody else will throw something out, which is a big mystery, and then you can pull in their big mystery, and boy, then you will be puzzled. And this would be the way it could go along. Well, so you get an evolving series of universes. You get evolving various types of time, which evolve simply out of the consideration that things can evolve. One of the things that happens to an individual, his entire time track can collapse. Boom. All time becomes no time, becomes this time. And you can do this on an hypnotic subject simply by hypnotizing him and telling him that everything he ever did, felt, saw, or heard, he can now experience simultaneously in present time. You, after that, turn him loose and let him gibber. He doesn't have any kind of a consecutive layout of time. Now, it should tell you there's something wrong about all this if individuals, one after the other, have their time tracks designed entirely differently. Some fellow's time track runs vertically. Another one runs horizontally. Another one doesn't run in any fashion at all. And another guy puts it off to the left, and another guy puts it under his feet. What they do, in essence, is just vanish the space. And the actual method of doing it is just vanishing the space and recreating a new space. And that gives us time, because the particles which we're using to create that space are gradually shifted, so that we get then a consecutive continuance of time by getting a consecutive change of space. But of course, this is a consecutive change of particles, which brings about this fact that time could be considered to be a co-action or co-motion of particles. And this would be consecutive changes of space. When you and I agree, we have a time in common, but an individual all by himself, without agreeing, could have a time, merely by saying there's now a time. There isn't any reason to get balled up with all this beyond this fact. The consideration is senior, and there's no telling what a cathetan will consider next. But we mustn't overlook the fact that when he first starts in, and he has a vast liberty of considering, because he has not made any considerations, that there are after considerations to be made. You see, he has to consider now that the considerations which he makes now are senior to the consideration he will make when, you see. This can get very confusing, you see, because there aren't any seniorities unless he says so. And we get the individual who has made a lot of these considerations which have interlocked and so forth. They appear to be in a consecutive timeline. And being in a consecutive timeline and being in consecutive spaces, they are very easily entangled. And he himself most easily solves this usually by going into a confusion valence and pulling in his head entirely. He's forgotten that he has forgotten. And he's made himself a fine picnic here. Now we take somebody who is not exteriorized and so forth. He's apt to look over this and agree with it philosophically, but it seems to be brain-rocking to him. It's just too much stuff, mostly because he is entirely dependent upon something which is really dependent upon these consecutive agreements, which is to say a body. And this body, boy, is it time. And any time you get anything as thoroughly timed as the body, is that in thorough agreement with this consecutive postulate of the motion of particles, you got a picnic on your hands, because its entire operation consists of its basic consideration. So processing should be designed in this line. It should be designed toward exteriorization, and then bettering the state of the individual after exteriorization, and then it should go up to the level of disabusing the individual's dependency upon a body and putting him into a position where he is not entirely dependent upon a body but can use one, as different, you see, entirely than having to use one. And we would do this just by the same methods which I just went into, which is, say, to spot all spots of space where you've been coincident with the body. That's be one method of doing it. All right, where do we get then energy and objects entering in here? We've got spots in space as the senior computation here, merely because it's all other things are dependent on that. And then we've got energy as the next senior computation, you see, because it had to have space in order to be energy. And then we get the next consideration, which is an object, which is more or less packed in or condensed energy in space. But we don't care how we define these things, just because physics has defined them that way, or they don't define them that way, they muddle through it. They say that, matter is indivisible in Gaul or something. I mean, it's just as far off from truth. Matter is a consideration, and so is energy, and as far as time, and you don't say that something was made before the other one, because that's not true. But you have to have space to have energy, to have matter to have space. But it's not as true that you have to have matter to have space as it is true that you have to have space to have space. And so what is true about this is you have to consider the phenomenon of space, and you have to consider the phenomenon of energy, and you have to consider the phenomenon of matter. These things are not all necessarily the same thing, nor are they necessarily different things, but you could get the line of agreement, which everybody has followed on the thing, and it went like this. There is space, there is energy, there is matter. And the agreement, which was already consecutively running, having already agreed upon time, we get these things. And how do they know what time they're in now? Well, the agreement was, you see, that they will watch the change of particles, and this will tell them what time it is. And wherever you find individuals agreeing upon time, you find them watching the change of particles. Well, now, in processing, where we have a considerable interest here, we find that these three things are relatively inseparable. When you address any one of them, you're addressing the others. You can more or less neglect the center of the line, energy or flows, if you process the two other objects here, or the two other entities, you might say space and objects. If you process space and objects, you'll get enough energy to keep yourself interested for some time. An object is a condensed energy, and space itself is the playground, you might say, of energy. So, therefore, we can just kind of neglect energy as a process. And we find out by experience that those processes which address energy as their subject matter are processes which lead practically nowhere. Anytime you want to process flows, you're welcome to do so, but make sure that you, quote, got a lot of time, unquote. That you can do it for a long time with a preclear. You'd say his difficulty came about when an object and a spot in space and a new consideration coincided. Object, spot in space, a new consideration. So spotting spots in space and remedying havingness will alter considerations. But let's not make a terrific basic error here. Those considerations are apparently located, but not actually, in spots in space. Considerations are not actually located in spots in space, even though you can pick them up there. So if you processed in the direction validating the fact that an individual's considerations were located actually in space, you would be processing toward an unworkable end. If he had to park all of his considerations in these spots in space and then had to rush around to all of them to think, you would see him actually dramatizing the way he made a thinking machine. The way he made a thinking machine is he made some space, you see, and he took some time, and now he assigned to a consideration a spot in space and a time and said that consideration is right there and should be nailed down there. But that's just a consideration. It's not true that that consideration is nailed down there at all, because that's the main difficulty which a thetan has. The considerations continue to float. You can get spikes, nails, golden bars, chains, or anything else. Do anything you want to a consideration. You can either consider it and consider it and consider it and try to nail it down, and by golly, it'll come loose. If you try to put a consideration into space and nail it down, it'll float. Because, basically, a consideration made space. So it recognizes its intimacy to considerations in general, which are not dependent upon space. Space is dependent upon the consideration of space, and objects are dependent upon the consideration of space and objects. But a consideration is not dependent on either one. So, watch this. It'll be a great temptation on your part to dream up a beautiful postulate and then have the fellow spot all the spots in space where he thought of this postulate. And sure enough, it will have some workability as a process, but it'll dead end. It'll work just for a little while and then it'll quit. That's because you're validating an untruth. One of the untruths which got him in trouble, see? This is one of the ways he made himself ignorant. He said these considerations are spotted in space. Now, that, in essence, is the way he builds a machine. He said, look at all these considerations which are here in space. There's a consideration, there's energy here, and there's a consideration, there's here, and there's here, and here, and it goes all the way down. And here it is right in this spot in space. See, and that's a machine, and it's now going to do so and so and so and so. That's fine. Now, I got it there, and I've got an attention relay system, and I've got it all set here, and there it is. Now, I got it there very nicely. Well, his agreement on energy and objects is much greater than his agreement on the consideration, and the darn considerations will occasionally come loose. So the object, being a much more agreed-upon thing, and so forth, is something that you will continue to handle. So let's talk about his association with objects before we talk about his association with considerations. And let's talk about his association with spots in space before we talk about his association with considerations. And just processing and trying to pull a guy up by his bootstraps, we'll discover 100% that the individual processes objects, remedies havingness, and spots in space, and the considerations just fly up and run out, and they do all sorts of weird things, and we're not even really terribly fascinated what the considerations do, even though they're far more important than the space and the objects. Now, we don't give him more trouble in nailing a consideration down in space. He's already having enough trouble. Let's just neglect it and skip it, and it'll pretty well resolve itself. Now, our primary and fundamental goal in the field of mechanical auditing as such, is the spotting of spots in space the remedy of havingness. Not spotting the spots in space of considerations, and not spotting the objects in space for considerations. We get into trouble either way. You can directly process a consideration and a mass of energy by taking up something which is a symbol and having the preclear move it around. It's liable to disappear, blow up, desensitize, lose its meaning, and so forth. Let's take the definition of a symbol. A symbol is something with meaning, mass, and mobility. So the meaning is liable to shake out of a symbol fairly rapidly. That's the first thing that shakes out of it. A car, for instance, still remains an object, but it could have different meanings to an individual. And I would say that an individual who had pushed a car around an awful lot, just to be pushing a car around, not because he has to be carried around by the car, would eventually shake the meaning out of cars rather easily. See, what is a car? He's not dependent upon it. Therefore, he's pushing it around. It's not pushing him around. After all, he would say, now, let's see, my basic consideration in acquiring this car was, I don't know, what was it? Oh, I remember to push the car around, of course. That was his basic consideration in pushing the car around. We get Q&A here, is much closer to the truth. Well, as I said, you could spot the spots in space where the individual had decided to ruin himself. You could do this. You say the considerations would fly loose and so forth, and it'd all be very interesting. But if you do it, you'll run into masses, but quick. And you'll run into masses, and you'll run into other postulates, and you'll find the individual's mass start shifting rather rapidly, and that his postulates and so forth will start to get stickier, and his considerations and so forth will not particularly improve. Below the level, that is, below one particular level, below the level of survival itself. That one, survive and succumb, is such a common denominator to all these other considerations that it in itself is, see, for any space he was surviving. Now, when you start spotting spots in space with the significance of survival, you know, where would Mama be safe, something like that, you get things happening with the individual. You couldn't help it. Because that's one consideration which overlies other considerations, and it's not just a consideration of space and objects. So therefore, it will blow, because it doesn't have to be nailed out. See, it's the contest. That's the soul of the game. All right, so you can process right straight at it and get someplace. But all the places where he decided that women were no good, boy, have you come downscale on this game. See? I agree. He'll have certain workability, no doubt about that. It's better than any other type of postulate processing, but that's not good enough. I mean, it's just you go ahead and do something about this. No, there are other things which you have to consider. And the main thing you have to consider is his dependency. What he's fighting there is dependency upon women. We could solve an individual antipathy for women fairly rapidly in several ways, perhaps. But theoretically, this is not necessarily true, but because it hasn't been run a lot in processes. But theoretically, you'd best solve his difficulty with women by solving all the spots in space where he had been in association with women. We just spot them. The considerations are going to fly loose. This is a cinch. We just ask him to spot these spots in space. Because this individual in present time is avoiding all these spots in space. So therefore, you put him back into conversance with these spots in space and so on. You, of course, at the same time are validating his postulate that there is space. But there's no great liability to this. That is not an aberrative postulate. Quite the contrary. It cuts down his knowingness just so far. It makes the game. The individual will go on playing the game more intensely after you've squared up such a postulate. Let's say we wanted to solve any problem in auditing. And let's just take that one. Let's spot all the spots in space where he's been in association with women. Now let's mock up some acceptable women and push them in, preferably to the thetan. If not so, to the body. Although you can get in a lot of trouble processing the sexual lines while somebody's still interiorized. Too tough a process. But you could do this even so. You could spot the spots in space and remedies having this of women. Theoretical process. But spotting the spots in space and remedying the havingness is not theoretical. It's the one constant process which keeps coming through and demonstrating a consistent and continuous workability and demonstrating case improvement. The individual who is avoiding space. Now, here's the punchline on all this. The individual who no longer owns space, who is now avoiding space, who considers space other determinism, has pulled out of it and has pulled with him the considerations which he planted in it. And so he avoided time. He avoided his consideration of time. So he has all the considerations he ever had jammed right where he is. Floating, unfixed, unassociated considerations for which he has no fitting pattern, place, or organization. And that is the definition of chaos. He's got to have some space before he can even vaguely move out into the field of, and find out where all these considerations were supposed to belong once, anyhow. So we get considerations and space being very intimate. All right, if this is the case, then we should see some very definite improvements anytime we use this type of processing. We can directly alter considerations, directly alter them. Don't mistake that. We can, because it's the basic truth of the thing. But where it comes to Homo sapiens and his difficulty, he is more concerned with the considerations belonging back there where he planted them, see, not back there in time, but over in that space, than he is concerned with knocking out the consideration. See, there was a basic impulse. He was going to put these considerations in these various places, and he's supposed to think this now, and then, and he's supposed to do this now, and then, and so on, and it isn't happening anymore, so he's wrong, and he's upset, and so on, and you just start spotting spots in space, and he said, what do you know, there is some space, and he starts to get happier about it, and now he let go of some consideration because he doesn't care where they belong. Okay? Let it go.